Right. Thank you, Pastor Brian. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you here. I'm glad that you have chosen to be here this morning. Now, Pastor Brian was telling me, you know, we had two services, so I spoke in the 9 o'clock service, and he said, you got to be on time. You got to, you know, we got other stuff at 10, and you got to be done. He said, the 11 o'clock service, you can take a little more time. You know, I have to be done right at 12. But I don't know about that, Pastor Brian, because now, you know what I'm up against? Now I'm up against lunchtime, so everybody's thinking about lunch if I go over, so I get that. Don't mess with Baptist and missing a meal, right? So I understand that. So we're not, don't worry, we're not going to go over time, but it is good to be back here this morning. I know many of you, remember many of you, some of you I don't know, which I think is awesome, and I hope to meet you today before we leave. We'll be back there. We've got a little table back there. Before I forget, almost forgot, always forget to do this. You can pick up a prayer card back there on our table. You can stick this in your Bible or put it on your refrigerator or whatever. And when you see that, remember to pray for us and pray for the Philippines and all the things that are going on there. I also have a book back there on the table that I authored a couple of years ago. This book is called Big Things, Major Lessons from the Minor Prophets. And I was blessed as I studied the Minor Prophets to teach it to our people. And Lord led me to put that in a book form. So if you want to learn more about the Minor Prophets, some really interesting truths, really interesting things in God's Word from the Minor Prophets. One of my favorite chapters is on the book of Joel. And the book of Joel teaches us why bad things happen. Why do tragedies happen in our world? God answers that very clearly in the book of Joel. So if you're interested in that, you can. We got some of those, a few copies left back there on the table. They're $15. You can pick up one of those, and it's a blessing to our ministry. But that's not why I'm here. I'm not here to sell books. We didn't bring a lot of them. I'm here to share with you what God is doing in the Philippines, and Lord willing, be an encouragement to you this morning. This is our scheduled time, our normal time to be back in the United States. We were supposed to be here, and you know, I just heard that everybody was having such a good time in 2020 in the United States, we wanted to come back and see it for ourselves. So we decided to come back, came back 1st of September, and we're traveling all over visiting churches, just like Mount Carmel. But people always ask me, what was the pandemic like? What is it like there in the Philippines? If you remember us being here before, like Pastor Brian was saying, if I've talked about our ministry, everything that we do in our ministry in the Philippines is all about church planting. That is our goal. That's our vision. We want to start new churches. We believe that the church is the hope of the world. We believe that the church is what God uses to reach people with the gospel. So we are actively starting new churches all over the Philippines. And at the start of 2020, we had an opportunity to start a new church. We planted a church about 7 years ago that I still pastor and still lead there. And now God has called a young man out of our church to plant a church. And you're going to meet him on the video in just a moment. His name is Rodell. And Rodell came to me and said that the Lord was leading him to plant a church. And that was kind of the start of 2020. And he was really supposed to be getting going with some of the evangelism and some of the meetings and initial phases of planting a church in March of 2020. And we all remember what happened in March, right? Happened all around the world at the same time. Everything began to shut down. So imagine trying to start a new business or plant a new church at the beginning of the pandemic. Seems kind of crazy, right? Well, the Lord has really worked in this situation, and Pastor Rodell has continued to move forward trying to reach people with the gospel, even during COVID-19, even during the pandemic. And I want you to watch this video and see what the Lord did. We would not have chosen that situation. I would not have, you know, checked that box to pick as a situation to plant a church. But God knew that that was going to happen, and God has used the pandemic to enable us to reach out to people in some unique ways. So you're going to hear from Pastor Rodell. Hopefully you can pick up on the accent, his Filipino accent. But just watch these pictures and hear what God is doing in this new church plant that we have.
Hi, everyone. This is Pastor Odell. We are in the fourth month of incubating a new church plant here in Marikina City, Metro Manila. Hear what is happening in the Philippines. Right now, we are on the 30th day of enhanced community quarantine. Mostly of Filipinos don't go to work, and that affects their families' living. Many are struggling with their foods every day. Because of your giving, we have given. For 2 weeks, we were be able to give 152 packs of relief goods, such as rice, canned goods, and other basic needs to 46 families. 60 frontliners were given cooked food. We were also prayed to 35 of the families, and 7 had made a profession of faith. Together with the packs, we are sharing the gospel through our trucks if we could have a conversation with the people. We are giving daily free food to communities to serve as much as we could. We will continue to give out relief goods as God continually provide for these needs. I would like to take this opportunity to say thank you to those who supported this relief giving. You have a part to each lives that has been served and got to know Christ as their personal Savior.
And he's right, you absolutely do have a part. If you have prayed for us, if you have given your tithes and offerings here at Mount Carmel, you've had a part in that. And this video we recorded kind of early in the pandemic. We've reached even more people since we recorded this. We have seen dozens and dozens of people put their faith in Jesus Christ simply because we needed to take some food to them. They needed help, and we took food to them, ministered to them, and were able to engage them in a gospel conversation. So thank you for having a part in that. Pray for Pastor Rodell, his wife Grace, and their team as they plant this church out of our church plant. We're so excited for them. They're doing a great job. Even in the middle of a pandemic, 2020, they now have over 20 small groups, or you guys call them life groups here, 20 small groups that they have started just this year as a result of reaching out to people. So the Lord's doing wonderful things there, and we're just so blessed by how God is moving. And I want to thank you for having a part in that. I could tell you more. I could talk for hours about everything God is doing there. But if you get one of our prayer cards, you can also, on our website, you can sign up to get our newsletter. I try not to annoy people with newsletters. I send one out about every 6 weeks. And you can get that, stay updated with what we're doing. Find me on Facebook. Follow me there. If you're on Facebook, we always post updates. And you can stay in tune with what God is doing in the Philippines. Well, this morning, I would invite you to get your Bible out, and we're going to look at a few different verses today, but we're going to start in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37, and as you're finding that, I often get the question, people ask me, well, how did you know that you were supposed to be a missionary? How did you know what God wanted you to do with your life? How did you know that God was calling you to be a missionary? People often ask me that. How did you know God was calling you to be a missionary? Now, everybody doesn't use that term, a call, but what they mean is, how did you know God was telling you that? How did you know God was saying that to you? Well, I want to kind of define a calling first as we get started. I want when you hear somebody use that term, a calling, and then today we're going to talk about answering the call of God. In Psalm 37 and verse number 4, there in your Bible, it says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. To delight ourselves in the Lord means that the Lord is the most important person in our life. He's the focus of our life. We delight ourselves in Him. We spend time with Him. Now, you're here on Sunday morning. You are giving your time to the Lord, and I hope your heart is here with you and that you're ready to hear from God and that you're delighting yourself in Him. And it means that we spend time with Him throughout the week. We open His Word. We talk to Him in prayer. We listen to Him. We delight ourselves in this relationship that we have through Jesus Christ. And the second part of that verse is really a promise to us. It's kind of like step one, that's on me. I need to delight myself in the Lord. But the second part is a promise from God. It says He will give you the desires of your heart. What does that mean? It means that as you spend time with the Lord, He will change your heart. He will give you the desires that He wants you to have. See, I'm a firm believer in that finding God's will is not a mysterious thing. You hear people talk about, how can I find God's will? I don't know what to do. God doesn't want us walking around in a dark room with no light bulb and we just hope we find the door. That's not what the Lord wants for your life. God wants us to find His will. He wants us to find those desires that He has for us. What that verse promises me is if I will follow Him, if I will seek Him, I will find Him. He will give me the desires that He wants me to have. So what is a calling? I define a calling like this. A calling is simply the desires that God places in your heart. The desires that God places in your heart. That you know, this is what the Lord wants me to do. Brian was talking about that. He prayed and asked God, do you want me to do something else? No, Brian, I want you right here. I want you at this church. It's the desires that God gives to us as we walk with Him. That's a calling. And I believe God is still calling people today. I believe God still speaks very specifically to us today. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. We used to, in times past, in church lingo, we would use the term a burden. You guys ever heard that term? A burden. Somebody would say, I really have a burden for the Lord. What do they mean? They meant that I have this overwhelming desire. I have this overwhelming task. I have this overwhelming work that I want to do for the Lord to serve Him, a burden. And we stopped using that, but I think it's a good term. I think it really captures what it means to have a purpose in your life and to have a focus for your life and a calling for your life. So the question for us this morning is, the question for you is, has God given you a burden? Has God given you a desire to do something with your life, to do something for Him? I had a mentor of mine teach me one time. He told me, he said, if you have a desire to do something for the Lord, you have a desire to do something that's good, that's biblical, that's Christ-honoring, where do you think that came from? You think about that. Did that come from our enemy, Satan? Did he put that in your mind, in your heart? No, of course not. Did it come just from your own heart, your own desires? The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Did it come from me, from Mark? Didn't. If I have a desire, a real desire, to go do something for God, is it quite possible that maybe God's trying to tell you something? Is it quite possible that maybe God's trying to lead you to talk to that person or invite that person to church or to serve in the church or to do something for Him? I think it's not only possible, I think it's very likely that it's the Lord calling you or speaking to you, giving you that desire. Whatever it is that God wants you to be doing, God, I don't know everybody here, okay? I know many of you, but I don't remember everybody or know everybody. There may be somebody here that God may call you into full-time ministry, like being a missionary or being a pastor. God may do that in your life, but God doesn't call everybody to do that. God calls people into any number of vocations, but I do believe God calls every believer to serve Him. God calls every person to be involved in the Great Commission. God calls every person to be active and to be serving in a church. God may be speaking to you, or He may start speaking to you today about doing something in this church. He may be calling you to serve in a ministry here. He may be calling you to lead a life group here. He may be calling you to reach out to that coworker or that friend that you know needs to be here, that they need this in their life. Whatever God wants you to be doing, and I believe He has a purpose for everyone here, this message is applicable to you this morning. Whatever that is that God wants you to do, we're going to look at the story of Jonah this morning. Story of Jonah, and how do we recognize God's call? How can we recognize God's call in our life? We're going to look at three characteristics of God's call in our life. So if you want to turn over in your Bibles to the book of Jonah, it's in the Old Testament. It's one of the minor prophets. It's called minor just because it's short, kind of a short book. We're going to look at the story of Jonah this morning for a few moments and find out characteristics of the Lord's call. Number one, if you're taking notes or you want to follow along that way, we're going to talk about the fact that God's call is very specific. God's call for me is specific. In Jonah chapter 1, very first verse, Jonah chapter 1 and verse number 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." The word of God comes to Jonah. Jonah was a prophet of the Lord, and God calls to him, speaks to him. And God gives him some very specific directions here. He tells him to go to Nineveh, and God calls Nineveh a great city. Nineveh was actually the second largest city in the world at that time. I'm sure you've heard of the city of Babylon, which was center of the world, really, at that time, the Babylonian Empire. Babylon was the largest city in the world. Nineveh was the second largest city, very well-known city. It was a Gentile city. It was, not a Jewish city. And it was known to be a very wicked city, very violent city. If you read some of the secular history at that time, the stories about Nineveh, it's just, the city was just full of wickedness and evil, things that even we today would think were just very, just full of debauchery and wickedness. Very, a place that needed repentance, needed the Lord. And God calls Jonah, and God says to Jonah, "I want you to go there." Now, the interesting thing to me about the book of Jonah is that it's called the book of Jonah, but Jonah is not really the main actor, the main person in the story. The main force, the main person in the story is God. God is the one who moves in Jonah's heart. God is the one who causes some of these things to happen in Jonah's life. It is God who is initiating this whole calling. Now, look. If you look at this verse, you can see the very specific things in God's call. And we can just kind of skip over this or blow past this and not think about it. But God was very specific here. First, He specifically spoke to a specific man. His name was Jonah. God didn't just put the call out there like putting a job description out and saying, "I hope somebody responds to this," you know. No. God pointed at Jonah and He said, "Jonah, I want you to go and I want you to do this." He gave Jonah a very specific message. It says, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah." We don't know exactly what God told him to say. We have an idea from the rest of the chapter, but basically, God gave Jonah the message. Jonah was just the messenger. God didn't say to Jonah, "Well, Jonah, I want to use you, but buddy, it's up to you. Whatever you want to do, you just go do that." No, no, no. God said, "Jonah, I'm calling you. Here's the message that you're to take, and here's the people that you're to take it to. You're to take it to the people, the city of Nineveh." God was very specific in His calling, in His job for Jonah. Now, am I saying that God's going to, you know, you're going to walk out of here and God's going to specifically give you something like He gave to Jonah with all those details? I'm not saying that, not necessarily. But the principle is that God is very specific when He wants to be. God is very specific with people who are serving Him and who are walking with Him and delighting in Him. I can tell you right now, I am completely 100% sure that God wants me to be a missionary in the Philippines. God's been very specific with me about that. Pastor Brian said he's sure God wants him to be here and serving him here at this church. And God can be very specific with you in your service to Him, in your ministry to Him. God's call is specific. We serve the same God as Jonah. We don't think about it that way a lot. We serve the exact same God that spoke exactly specifically to Jonah. And God can do the same thing today, and I believe He does do the same thing today, and I think He wants to do that with you. God may be calling you to do something very specific for Him. I love this story because I can see in this story that God wants specific people to serve Him. He has specific jobs for us to do. God made you for a purpose. He made you for a reason, and He put you here in Luray. I don't know all the reasons why, but God knows the reasons why, and He has something for you to do. And God has put me and my family in the Philippines for a specific purpose, a specific reason. I also love this story because it reminds me that God sees specific places. You know, I don't know how God goes about looking down on the earth or looking around at the world, but I do know God sees places. God sees cities. He saw the city of Nineveh. Do you know why God spoke to Jonah and reached out and wanted to send Jonah? Because God cared about the people of Nineveh. God is not a vengeful God. God is not an evil God. If He was, God would have just destroyed Nineveh with no warning. They were a wicked city. But no, God calls Jonah to go. He sees the need. God sees the need. And He sees the need in Marikina City in the Philippines that you saw on that video with Pastor Rodell. God sees all of those people. God sees all the people in Luray that need the gospel. God sees everyone in every city around the world. And by the way, God sees it first. God sees the need before you or I see it. You know that? I didn't see it first. You don't see your friend first that needs the gospel. God's already seen them. God's already knows that. God's called us as very, very specific so that we can do specific things for the Lord. Now, what happens? The problem is, in this story, it's a great, great lesson, great story for us. And by the way, this is not a children's story. It's not just a fairy tale. This actually happened. What happens? Jonah runs away from the Lord in verse number 3. Okay, it doesn't take him long. You only get 3 verses in. But Jonah, okay, it's not going to go well when you see that word. But Jonah. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Okay, and he went down to Joppa to do that. Now, if you look at the map, God told him to go to Nineveh. Jonah goes the exact opposite way. It's not even close to Nineveh. Okay, he's trying to travel completely away from where God told him to go. He's trying to hide from God, which is, you know, hilarious to try to do. But he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he gets on this ship. He paid the fare. I paid the money to get on the ship. I heard a pastor preach about this one time, and he said, if you run away from God and you don't do it God's way, you do it your own way, you're going to pay the fare to go. If you go God's way, God will take care of you. But if you run away from God, you're going to pay for it. Jonah had to pay the fare, get on the ship, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Jonah's trying to run away from God. Now, seems like a bad situation, seems terrible, but as we find out, Jonah learns a very important lesson. He learns a very important thing, and we can learn a lesson from that as well. So God's call is very specific to us today, just like it was to Jonah. And number 2, God's call for me is unchanging. It's unchanging. As we see in the book of Jonah, as the story continues, we're not going to read it all, but the remainder of chapter 1 and chapter 2 is what happens in the story of Jonah. And I'm sure most of you have heard the story, or you've seen it around. Jonah gets swallowed by what the Bible calls a great fish, okay? Some people think it may have been like a whale shark or some huge animal that was able to swallow Jonah. Jonah is in the belly of this fish. We're not going to go over all that story because for our purposes, the most interesting thing here is not what happened in the belly of the fish, okay? The most interesting thing is what happens in Jonah's heart. What God does in his heart in this situation. What happens is, as Jonah is in this fish, he realizes his mistake. He realizes that he's done the wrong thing. He realizes that you cannot run away from God's purpose in your life. And he learns a hard lesson. Jonah is released from this fish, literally spit out onto the beach. I hope he got a bath or something before he continued his ministry after that. But he continues on, and what happens? Chapter 3, after all that is over, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Second time. What comes to Jonah? The same thing that came in chapter number 1, the word of the Lord. God's call, God's message, God's purpose for Jonah was unchanging. God said to him, "Arise, going to Nineveh, same exact message, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Jonah, it's time for you to go and do what I have planned for you to do, that I told you to do. Here's the lesson for us. If God has called you to serve Him, He will not stop calling you. If God has a purpose for you, and He does, He's not going to change that purpose. Did God make a mistake when He created you? Or did God make a mistake when He put you where you are in your life? He didn't. He doesn't. God has a plan for you. I hope you believe that. I hope you're encouraged by that. The Bible tells us that over and over again. Almost every story in the Bible shows us that God wants to be involved in our life, and He has a plan for us. He has a purpose for us. And God calls us to serve Him and to do specific things for Him. And His call does not change because His purposes don't change. If God has placed a desire in your heart, He has a plan to use you. He has a plan to use you to do great things. We need to learn from Jonah not to run from God's call, not to run from what we believe the Lord is telling us to do. We need to embrace God's call. Whatever God has put in your heart, it may be you think something small or it may be something big. Boy, when I thought God was calling me to be a missionary, I'm like, are you sure, God? I mean, really? That's kind of a big deal, right? But it may be something that you think is small. Maybe it's God's just calling you to reach a coworker or a friend or a family member and invite them to church. Whatever it is, God's given you a purpose for this day, this week, rest of this year. Embrace that. Don't run away from it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 reminds us of this truth. Jonah had to learn this lesson that you can't run away from God's purpose. What is our purpose? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have been born again, why did God save you? Why have you been created new in Christ Jesus? You have been saved for good works. You've been saved to do something, not to earn your salvation. Salvation is free. It's the free gift of God. But you've been saved so that you can serve the Lord, so that you can serve others. You can do good things. And God has prepared those things, I love that, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in Him. God already knows what you should be doing. He already knows what I should be doing. It's my job to delight myself in the Lord and discover those things and then be willing to embrace that and follow Him. And that's a life of joy. That's a life of joy of serving the Lord. Jonah rejected that at first. Jonah did not have a life of joy while he was in the fish, okay? Can we just be clear about that? Now, extrapolate that out a little bit in your own life. Maybe there's something that you've been running away from. Maybe there's something you know God wants you to do. You know you should try to do that thing for the Lord. Don't run away from it. Embrace it. God has prepared that for you, even before you were saved. God has made you with a specific purpose. You just can't argue with the logic of this. That if God created something for you to do beforehand, He's already prepared it for you, and you are created in Christ for that good work, that's not going to change. God's call, God's purpose for you and me is unchanging. And we see that in a magnified way in the life of Jonah. God's purpose is unchanging. Embrace it. Now, God will continue to call us. Lastly, why does God continue to move in our life? Why does God continue to call us? He didn't give up on Jonah. He didn't give up on me. He continues to call us. Why? Because God's call is effective. God's call for me is effective. It's not only effective for me, it's effective for the people that I will minister to. If you know the end of the story, close to the end of the story of Jonah, what happens? Jonah chapter 3, verse number 5. Jonah goes and he preaches to Nineveh. He preaches repentance. He preaches the truth to them. And what happens? So the people of Nineveh believed God. Now don't run right by that. Don't just skip over that. This was the second largest city in the world, a wicked city, a city that had turned away from God. Jonah, this one man, goes and preaches throughout the city, preaches to them, and the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and they put on sackcloth. They were mourning from the greatest to the least of them. What this verse teaches is that the entire city, everybody in the city, repented and followed the message that Jonah brought. They turned back to God. Even the king, verse 6 tells us, even the king repented. Some theologians have called this the greatest revival in history, an entire city turning back to the Lord. Listen, what this encourages me, what this teaches me is I should never doubt God's ability to reach even a whole city with the gospel and change a whole city. And if God can change a whole city, I know He can change one life. I know He can change my friend's life. I know He can change my parents' life. I know He can change my children's lives. Never doubt God's ability to use you to do something great. God's call is effective. Imagine if Jonah had not gone. Imagine if he had not repented and not gone. I don't know what would have happened. I don't know. We can speculate, but we don't know. But God knew. God knew. Jonah, if you will just go and do what I tell you to do, it's going to impact an entire people group. What are we leaving undone? Because we don't really believe that God could use us. What are we leaving undone? Never doubt God's ability to work through you, to be effective. There's a great story that I like to tell. I use this often when I'm trying to illustrate this. The man that you see on that tightrope, this is a photograph from over 100 years ago now. The man walking across the tightrope is a French acrobat. His name was Charles Blondin. And you can Google him and it'll come up with all kind of articles. Charles Blondin became very famous about 100 years ago. His most famous stunt was walking across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. And he would do all kind of things. He pushed a wheelbarrow across. He would carry things across. And one time, you can see a picture of him doing it here, he carried a person across. He carried another person on his back and walked across Niagara Falls. So the account goes, the story goes, he got across to the other side of Niagara Falls and let the man down safely. And of course, everybody's cheering, everybody's excited. It's incredible, right? And the crowd kind of calms down, and Charles Blondin says, "Do you believe I can do that again?" And of course, everybody says, yeah, I want to see it again, let's see it again. He said, "Okay, I need a volunteer. Who wants to go with me?" How many volunteered do you think? The story says nobody else would go, nobody would do it. Just a few seconds ago, all of them were saying, "Yeah, we believe you can do that. Yeah, we just saw you doing that. You can do it, Charles. All right, do you want to go with me?" No, I don't want to go. I got stuff to do. I can't go. How many times do we provide lip service to the Lord and say, "Yeah, God, I believe you could do this with me, or I believe you can do that in my friend's life through me." But when God really asks us to do it, we find some reason not to go. We find some excuse that we're not going to step out on the tightrope. What does the Lord want to do with you this year? 2020's been a difficult year, right? I don't care what industry you're in. I don't care if you have kids at home, you don't have kids at home. I don't care what your situation is. It's been difficult for everybody. But I'm an optimist. And I just believe that God could make the end of this year a great year for everybody here. What does God want to do with you? What does God want to do with this church? A church is a body of believers. A church is not the building. I think God wants to do something specific with every person here. I think God wants to do something specific with every life group in this church. I think God wants to do something specific with every guest who may be here or watching the live stream. God wants to move in this church, and He wants to move in each individual heart. What does God want to do with you? His call, His desire for your life is effective, and He can use you to do great things. He can use you in service to Him. And if He's calling you to do something, His call is unchanging. He's not going to stop calling you. He has a purpose for you. He's not going to give up on you. God loves you. He wants the best for you. He's not going to stop. And we should be encouraged by that. And we should learn from Jonah, I'm not going to run from God. I'm going to embrace God's call in my life, whatever that is. What does God want to do in your life in 2020? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. We can fault Jonah for running from the Lord. We can look at the negative aspect of that. But he did eventually make the right decision. Jonah did eventually come around and embrace what God was asking him to do, and he followed the Lord in obedience. What is God asking you to do? I don't know everybody here, but I think God may be speaking to some of you. Maybe someone is here and God's calling you into full-time ministry. That may be the case. Maybe God is calling you just to serve in this church in some capacity. Whatever it is, maybe you feel the Lord moving in your heart recently. And you know you need to step out. You know you need to do something for God. Maybe it's talking to a friend. Maybe it's inviting a neighbor to church. Every time you see them, you think about that, but you haven't done it yet. You haven't gone that step yet. And maybe you need to trust the Lord to do that. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I just want to pray for you. If you would say, you know, Mark, pray for me. There's something. There's something in my heart. There's some desire God's given me, and I want to do that for the Lord. I want to do that for God this year. Would you raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Mark, pray for me. I want to follow the Lord. I see your hand. Thank you. I want to do what God's calling me to do. I want to follow this desire that God's given me. Anyone else? Just slip your hand up and I'll see it. I see your hand. Thank you. Yes. Anybody else? Pray for me. I don't want to be like Jonah. I don't want to run away. I want to embrace whatever God wants me to do. And I want to know that. I want to delight myself in the Lord. I want to find His calling on my life. Anyone else? Slip up your hand. I see your hand. Thank you. Amen. Anybody else? Maybe you're here. I don't know everyone here, and you may be a guest, and you may be watching on live stream. Maybe what God is calling you to is a relationship with Him. Maybe God's calling you to salvation. Jesus came, and He died on the cross, and He rose again the third day, and He did that to pay for your sin, to pay for my sin. And you know what we have to do to receive that eternal life? The Bible says it's a gift. You know what we have to do? We have to believe. We have to believe in Him. We have to just accept that gift that He offers to us. If you have never received Christ as your Savior, if you've never called out to Him for salvation, I encourage you to do that today. You talk to Pastor Brian, you talk to Pastor Mike, you talk to me. We're here to help you have a relationship with Jesus, have a relationship with God because He loves you. I want to pray for those of you who raised your hand. Father, thank you for this church. I thank you for their heart for reaching people here in Page County and their heart for reaching people around the world as far away as the Philippines. God, I pray you would continue to bless this church. Help them to continue to reach people for you. God, I pray for those who raised their hands today. I believe that you're moving in their heart. I believe that you've touched their heart. And each situation is different, God, and it's specific. And I pray you would work specifically in their life this week, Lord, and help them to find what it is you want them to do, and then help them to have the courage to step out on the tightrope and to do that. God, if there's anyone here today and they do not know you as their Savior, I pray that you would draw them to yourself. I pray that you would save them, Lord, make the gospel clear to them, God. And we ask you for this blessing in their life. Lord, we love you, and we give all of these things to you. We give this service to you. In Christ's name, amen.